You're in the 06010.
Focus. Fantasy. Fantasy Focus.
Hello and welcome to the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast. My name is Daniel Dopp. I am joined in studio by Mike Clay and a guest that we'll get to in just 1 second. But first, today's podcast is presented by Geico. Switch to Geico and see all the ways that you could save. Mike Clay, looking nice here in studio. Looks like you dressed up, seeing as how it's just you and I. Field is not here.
That's right. So I felt like the best dressed of the crew is not here. So I had to kind of, I knew you wouldn't do it. I knew you wouldn't like upgrade yours. I mean, you're wearing like what, socks and sandals, socks and flip flops.
Charger socks, baby.
Yeah. Are they? Are they Charger socks? Yeah, they're Charger socks. Sharp. Okay. Yeah. All right. I'll allow it. So anyway. Bad. Decided to dress up a little bit.
Yeah, I appreciate for you.
Little fancy shoes.
I appreciate that. You really Sports didn't Center need shoes. To, though, because all of everything that is positive that's coming from this podcast is actually coming from Liz Loza,
who is
joining us today as well. Liz, it's so good to see you bright and early from the West Coast. How are you doing all the way over there in California?
Hello, my dudes. I'm good. I miss you guys in that beautifully curated and designed air-conditioned studio.
Oh my gosh, it's 64 degrees in here. It is so cold right now.
It is cold.
You have no idea. It's amazing. We have so much stuff we are going to get to. Really excited to be able to have Liz here today with us. And we're going to jump right into it.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's talk about football.
Baker Mayfield is a starter in Carolina. Thank you, Matt Rhule, for finally deciding that Baker Mayfield is going to be the starter. Obviously, Matt Corral is going to be out for the year. Does any of this matter to us right now, Mike Clay?
Not in fantasy,
unless you're in
a two quarterback league. I mean, and by the way, so I think there might be some optimism around him as like, maybe, you know, he flashed late in 2020. Maybe he gets it going. But think about this. He has zero top 15 fantasy seasons. And the reason for this is, and by the way, I've been saying this since the beginning of his career, right? Not a guy who's going to be a fantasy option unless he becomes an elite passer, which he is not. He doesn't run 571 yards and 5 touchdowns on the ground in 60 games. That's it. He doesn't run the ball. It's a huge problem from a fantasy perspective, and he's just never been a QB1. So I have no interest from a fantasy perspective in Baker Mayfield unless we're in Superflex.
Yeah, luckily for us today, we're going to talk about the Carolina Panthers and the Atlanta Falcons for Double Trouble. But before we do that, we'll get into Baker Mayfield just a little bit more. I want to throw up a blind resume on the screen. I was really excited about this. We're going to talk about this player a little bit later. We've got a wide receiver that I'm really excited about. The last 3 years, as we throw it up on the screen, we'll be able to look at. All right. Stand by on the blind resume. For now, let's get into Double Trouble.
Double Trouble.
Double Trouble.
Double Trouble.
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 Double Trouble.
Double Trouble.
Double Trouble.
Double Trouble.
As of this moment, they're on double secret probation.
Well, I know the answer to the blind resume. It's me.
Really?
It's me.
Oh, really?
It's me and you. 0000000. Yeah.
I love that.
No stats.
Kyle, you want to text me the 3 stats that I need, and then I'll give Mike Clay the blind resume here as we get into this. But first, we're going to talk about this. Liz, I'm going to start with you because you're not here with us. I wish that you were because I got to look at Mike's stupid face this entire time.
Whoa.
Sorry about that, buddy.
Come on, man. I wore my nice pants and shoes.
I know. I don't know why you dressed up. You looked so good the way that you
Come
were.
Come on, man.
I don't know.
Some of us do like Sports Center sometimes. Like some of us. I'm just saying.
Wow.
I'm just saying.
Let's talk about the Carolina Panthers and let's talk about Christian McCaffrey, Liz, because if you were drafting 1.01, I think it's safe to say Jonathan Taylor would be the guy, correct? All right.
Yes.
So if you're drafting 1.02, as it is right now, Christian McCaffrey, currently the number 2 running back off the board, would you take him here, given the fact that he has had 2 years worth of injuries, in spite of the fact that he is the guy, a fantasy rock star over the last 4 years that he has been healthy? Are you taking CMC at 1.02, or is there someone else that you like more?
I'm not. I'm just not comfortable doing it. And I think Stefania Bell has said this numerous times and really makes the point made beautifully. Is Christian McCaffrey, when he is on the field, the number one producer at the position, or frankly, any position outside of quarterback? Absolutely. Here's a stat, courtesy of Kyle Zoppi, who you referenced just a moment ago. When Christian McCaffrey, over the past 2 years, was on the field for a full 4 quarters, leaving early, like an actual full game, he managed 26 fantasy points per game. He was only on the field, however, for 8 games. And in order for him to reach 26 fantasy points per game over those eight contests, he needed to touch the ball over 24 times per contest. Now, I mentioned Stefania. Here's the point. He cannot manage the fantasy production he does without touching the ball 24 times a game, and his body clearly cannot hold up to touching the ball that frequently. That does not add up. The data that we are seeing has shown me that, yes, he produces a ton when he gets a ton of volume, but guess what? Those soft tissues don't like it. So I am not interested in investing at that sort of risk at the number two spot. I'd prefer, as I said previously, give me Austin Eckler, who is more efficient per touch. He managed in every single game over the past 2 years, a little over 20 fantasy points per game, but only 17.7 touches per game. So it's kind of, you know, Mike, you can like talk about the numbers here for me, but basically one touch equals 1 point more between these two players. I'd rather have the player who's on the field the whole time.
Yeah. So first of all, I actually disagree. Here's the thing. I think if you are willing to take CMC at say two or three in the first round, you should be willing to take him first overall, right? You're not really worried about the injury too much, right? If you rank him like in the third round, you're like, I cannot take this chance. The injuries are a major concern, and you put him that low, fine. I understand it. But if you're willing to take him in the top five, you should be willing to take him first. At least there's a conversation. So I prefer Jonathan Taylor just because he was so good last season, right? He's just put himself on that level. He belongs in that conversation, but I will not knock anyone who wants to take CMC number one. I mean, to your point, 24 plus points in a top five fantasy running back in his four full games last season. He was 15th at running back in catches last season. He played four full games. Yeah. And was 15th in receptions. Just unbelievable.
It
includes a couple partial games too. That's that, but nonetheless, really effective. Also, this might be the best Panthers offense we've seen in a long time, right? With Baker Mayfield there. I mean, yeah, they haven't had good quarterback play in a while. They may have more scoring opportunities. CMC is the kind of player you want if you're going for first place, right? It's not necessarily a pick you make if you just want to play it safe and try to get in the playoffs and get a little lucky. It's a first or last sort of move to some extent, and I'm okay with that. I'm willing to take the chance on him because every week he is active, you're like, I'm going to win this week, right? It's like being a Chiefs fan right now, right? Or when I was growing up an Eagles fan with McNabb, right? You have him on your team, you're like, man, he could put up 32 this week and win me my week. So I will be glad to take him with the top two. I took him in our draft, right? I picked second in the marathon draft. I took him second.
Yep.
If I picked first, I would have taken Taylor. I've stood by that the whole offseason, but I would have thought about it for a half second because McCaffrey is that good.
He is that good. The idea that he has missed most of the last 2 years and the injury risk that's baked into his ADP is one spot lets you know how good Christian McCaffrey is from that standpoint. Because if it was anyone else that's missed the last basically 2 years of football, we're not going to advocate that he's worth the number two overall pick.
Yeah. By the way, just a quick note on Austin Eckler too. There was some concern maybe they'd scale back his carries. Like he kind of said that as well, right? Like he wants to, you know, he's fine playing kind of in a committee to some extent so that he doesn't wear down. He understands the nature of the position. Very smart player, very smart person. But they don't have really an established two right now, right? Like we thought it might be Isaiah Spiller. He's injured right now. He might miss week one. He hasn't really stood out. We're not worried about the same guys who were there last year, right? Roundtree and Kelly. We're just not worried about them. So that does make me a little bit more confident in his rushing output this season.
Yeah, that's fair. All right, let's talk about a wide receiver, and I think the only main wide receiver in this offense. But Mike, I want to throw a stat at you real quick. First 3 years in the league, wide receiver 28, wide receiver 26, wide receiver 16. DJ Moore now gets Baker Mayfield under center, and you have him at wide receiver 12.
Let's go.
In spite of the fact that he has only finished inside the top 20 once, you have a lot of confidence in DJ Moore this year. I want to know why.
I do. And look, Liz and I disagreed a little on the running back situation, where I think we're going to agree on this one, right? We love DJ Moore because there's so much to love, right? Look, he was sixth in the NFL in targets last season. He's had three straight seasons, top 10 in receiving yards. And again, to your point, he's had a low ceiling, right? Three weekly finishes better than 22nd last year, one top 10. The reason is very clear. Touchdowns, right? It's been a problem. And not only has it been a problem, a historic problem. Okay, check this out. This is an unbelievable stat, okay? DJ Moore is the only player in NFL history with at least 1,100 receiving yards and fewer than five touchdowns in more than two seasons. He has done it three straight seasons. He's the only one that's ever done it, and he's done it 3 years in a row. That is how unheard of his touchdown luck, whatever the opposite of luck is, bad luck, unluck. Yeah. Unbelievable. I think that changes with the quarterback upgrade here to Baker Mayfield. Or say Baker doesn't even play this season. It still has to change because it's just unbelievably those things regress to the mean, right? So I think it'll fix itself this year. I think he gets closer to six, maybe seven touchdowns. And maybe he really breaks out. You know, touchdowns are a little volatile, so it's possible. So I'm in on DJ Moore. I think he makes a big leap and finally gets his first top 12 season.
Fingers crossed. That would be amazing. Liz, where are you at on DJ Moore heading into the season?
Actually, I also have him. I finished my rankings yesterday. They should be up. Fingers crossed. On ESPN.com, I have him as wide receiver 12 as well, the exact same spot as Clay. And Clay mentioned beautifully, 1,100 yards, over 1,100 yards for three consecutive seasons, just four touchdowns to accompany those 1,100 yards over the past 3 years. I looked at red zone efficiency attached to the quarterback. Just last year, Sam Darnold had a red zone efficiency rate, a red zone completion percentage, rather, of 53%. That is outside of the top 20. Baker Mayfield, on the other hand, who, by the way, I think we could all agree, looked worse than a healthy Case Keenum at portions of the season, managed a top 10 red zone completion percentage, over 60% last year. That was not Baker Mayfield in 2020. That was 2021 Baker Mayfield. That number, just mathematically, in terms of statistic anomaly and likelihood, needs to go up for DJ Moore in the red area of the field. And I do believe, again, it's because of the passer he has been and now will be attached to.
All right, Liz. So then let's do a little bit of a name game here, because I'm a little more out on DJ Moore than you guys are. A little bit. Not a lot. Just a little bit. But Liz, I want to know, DJ Moore or Michael Pittman for you this year?
It's more. I have DJ Moore one spot ahead. I have Michael Pittman at my wide receiver 13.
Actually. Same.
I would take Michael Pittman. Okay. What about AJ Brown or DJ Moore?
AJ Brown is wide receiver 14.
Same.
Okay. I think
we're on the same page.
I think I like AJ Brown more than I like DJ Moore. Still, I like Pittman and AJ Brown more. What about Terry McLaurin or DJ Moore?
McLaurin is my wide receiver 15.
Okay. So I think at this point, McLaurin, Jalen Waddle, Mike Williams, do you like any of those guys? Because at that point, I'm in on DJ Moore before those three as well.
Why? Yeah.
I think because...
I'm putting you on the spot.
That's fair. No, that's totally fair. Terry McLaurin, I like Terry McLaurin.
So do I.
I don't like the Commanders. I don't love Carson Wentz. I'm nervous about what he's going to be in that offense. I think that the range of outcomes is larger than what it is that I would like there. Jalen Waddle, I actually feel slightly more confident in, because we saw, I think Jalen Waddle's ceiling last year is going to be probably what his ceiling is this year, right? He's not going to do that much more, but we've watched how good he is with the football. I've seen him do things with Tua. And I think that if he continues to get targets, I like Waddle in that offense more. Same with Mike Williams. I'll take the boomer bust nature of Mike Williams over DJ Moore. And the fact that I don't love this offense. I don't love Baker Mayfield. He's still, to me, a top 20 wide receiver, but for me, he's a little bit lower, in part because of that touchdown regression. And it's not like Baker Mayfield is some superstar quarterback that just came in to run this team. Mm-hmm. He's a fairly average guy. So for me, it's just hedging my bets a little bit.
Yeah, fair enough.
Go ahead, Liz. I just want to jump in because I think Mike Williams is such an interesting comparison to DJ Moore. He's like the Vecna season of DJ Moore red zone stats, because he lives in the upside down of them, right? Like, we are just chasing touchdowns with Mike Williams. And yes, he's attached to an up-tempo offense and a top five, top six, depending on where you're ranking him, a quarterback. But I also don't want to just chase touchdowns. I think we've all learned that that's a fluky proposition. And so to me, Mike Williams is kind of at the end of that list of receivers that you mentioned, Daniel.
I like Mike Williams. I think I would take Mike Williams, and he was wide receiver 12 last year, right?
Mm-hmm.
Took a crazy path to get there, not one that we necessarily loved as fantasy managers, more boomer bust than what we would want. But I think he's going to take the next steps. I would take Mike. I think Mike Williams is going to have a better fantasy season on a per game basis than DJ Moore this year.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, I happen to think DJ Moore will have a better fantasy season than Mike Williams on a per game basis.
Oh, do you?
Put it on the board.
Put it on the board.
Sorry about that. Liz, that's a thing that we do. We just yell, put it on the board when we decide we want to make a bet with each other. Which
put
side are you on? Are you taking DJ Moore? You're taking DJ Moore over Mike Williams with Mike?
Yeah.
That's too bad. That's,
He's a league winner. He's a league winner everywhere. The incredible back. He can finish a top six, top five wide receiver this
year. Agreed. Love it. Just so good at football. By the way, as you were talking about these other receivers, I'm sitting here like, I want to push back on it, but I love all these guys too, right? It is a tier. Like, we talk so much about tiers, and I think Moore kind of leads that tier, but some great talents here, right?
Really good talent.
To some extent, I can't really knock you over like a couple points. I would prefer Moore, but these guys are excellent. I don't want to say fallback options, but excellent options in that tier. But
they're all really good options. Yes.
But anyway, I'm hedging now. Moore is on the board. DJ Moore, let's go.
I will not be disappointed getting any of the names that we just talked about in that name game.
Agree,
I'm fine 100%. With all those guys. Is there another pass catcher here, Mike, in this offense? I mean, Robbie Anderson kind of talked about how he didn't really love football in the offseason. I think that was more quarterback related than it might have been football related, but him, Terrace Marshall, is there someone else that you like here?
Yeah, so Robbie Anderson's 2021 was so bad he changed his name. I mean, he just dropped the Y, went with IE. He didn't know why that was going on, why that happened last season, so he changed it. But yeah. Look, I do think he'll bounce back, and I actually think he is an undervalued or an underrated late round flyer right now. You know, I mean, think about this. Last season, in the same offense, new quarterback, but same offense, he was sixth among wide receivers in snaps and routes. Right. So the volume there was terrific for him. The problem was the efficiencies, catch rate, yards per target, yards per route run, were bottom five at the position. And you can blame him to some extent. To an extent, it's going to be the receiver's fault. But we know they had major quarterback problems. Yeah. Right. The connection with Sam Darnold was not there, or any of the other quarterbacks. It just was not good. But look, we've seen him have top 20 seasons before. He's had two of them. I think that he's still in his toward the end of his prime, but still probably has another good year or two left. And again, he's wide receiver 59 on my board. That's about where his ADP is. You can get him late in your draft, and you might end up with a guy that gets 6 or 7 targets per game in this Carolina offense. It's going to have to throw it a lot. So I think he is a fine, underrated late round flyer. And as for Terrace Marshall, by the way, always them post hype guys, dynasty mostly, but if you're in a 14-team league is probably, I don't know if I draft him in a 12-team league, but a 14-team league, if you want to take a flyer on a second-round pick from last year, was really young, right? He's only 22, really struggled as a rookie, but maybe he makes that leap. So that's where I'm looking at him.
Yeah, that's fair. I like Terrace Marshall, and I've drafted him a fair amount. Very end of best ball leagues when I'm doing 20 rounds. Again, I'm not doing like in a 12-team league and in a maybe 14 team. I think 14, 16 is where you're starting to look at that depth.
Yeah, I would just be careful not to get too carried away. I mean, history does say rookie receivers who finish outside the top 100, it's kind of a nice, pretty round number, but rookie receivers who finish outside the top 100 their first year almost never pan out. But there are a few exceptions in there, right? There are a few exceptions. So maybe he's one of them. But again, that's why you save a guy like him for late, right? You're not reaching on him like, you know, taking him in Sky Moore territory, right? You're waiting until deeper leagues very late.
Way, way late. Liz, is there anybody else from this offense that you want to talk about? Or do you feel like we've exhausted all of the fantasy options here in Carolina?
I think the fantasy options have been exhausted. There is a point, though, that I do think needs to be made, and that's the change. I mentioned that DJ Moore is now on the fifth offensive coordinator in his entering his fifth year in the league. Ben McAdoo comes to Carolina replacing Joe Brady. And Ben McAdoo, I'm sure New York Giants fans are going to bristle at this, but when he was the OC, he did help lead Eli Manning to some of his best statistical years, which I think could help Baker in the long run and also make this offense more up-tempo, give it more opportunity. I think we're going to see more pass attempts than we have in previous seasons. At least the efficiency of those attempts hopefully will even out a bit. I think that's helpful for Robbie Anderson because, as Mike mentioned, in 2020, it's not just that Robbie Anderson had like a great year. He really evolved his skill set from a pass catcher's point of view. He was no longer this like touchdown burner, take the top off the defense guy. He improved his routes. He changed where he was playing on the field. And then I think he kind of got pissed last year and was like, screw this. Like, I'm making a business decision and I don't really know if I'm into it. There seems to be a renewed spirit. He did have a bit of a, believe, like quad or hamstring injury last week. So I'd like to see him getting more reps with Baker Mayfield, but that is a very, just a minuscule footnote. I think you take Robbie Anderson in the same place as you would take, just for contextualizing, Devontae Parker, who I love week one. That's going to be a spoiler alert, like a week one DFS pick for me. Or Marvin Jones, who is just one season away from having back-to-back 9-touchdown efforts. So in that range is, I think, when you can take Robbie Anderson.
And 2020, I loved Robbie Anderson. He helped my dynasty team.
Yeah. He did have that year.
Crushed it for that 1 year. 95 catches. It was awesome.
He did. By the way, to put a bow on this, I think a lot of people, especially with Christian McCaffrey's recent injury issues, is thinking about the backup there, right? The insurance running back, Deontay Foreman and Chuba Hubbard. I think that if something were to happen to McCaffrey, you're probably looking at a two-man backfield, right? Foreman's a bigger back, goal line work, maybe 13 to 15 carries. Hubbard, more of a versatile change of pace back. He kind of struggled with efficiency last year and actually lost a lot of work to Amir Abdullah in the second half. So not, you know, my 192 just came out, my article, the 192 players you should draft in 12-team leagues, and none of them are on there, right? None of those backup running backs are on there. I think just leave them on waivers. If you have McCaffrey and you want to put someone like Foreman on the end of your bench, fine, but you don't have to. Don't go out of your way, because I don't know that they're going to be guys you feel great starting.
Oh, quick spoiler alert. Your 192 is out, Mike Clay?
It is.
Tell me a little bit about that. It's free, article. All
free, right. A rare free article from me at ESPN.com. And again, it's just 192 players who should be picked in normal 12-team, 16-round drafts.
I love that. Yeah. I love that. Go check that out. All right. We're going to talk about the Falcons in a second, but first we got to pay Liz's salary now that we brought her onto the payroll. When it comes to choosing the top running back, wide receiver, and quarterback, even which defense is right for you or your team on any given week, you know where to turn. It's Mike Clay. But when you're trying to decide on the right card for your wallet, the right mortgage lender for your dream home, or the right savings account, where do you go? The nerds at NerdWallet are here to help you make a smart financial decision. NerdWallet is a personal finance site run by money nerds. Just think about people that are as obsessed about personal finance as we are about fantasy sports. And they want to share their knowledge with our listeners to help you guys find the right financial products for you. Let's say you're looking for a new rewards credit card, all right? NerdWallet can help compare cashback cards side by side so you can feel confident choosing the one that suits your spending needs. Think of them like your weekly wide receiver PPR flex rankings, but you're comparing top credit cards that work for you. Are you ready to make a financial decision? Compare and find top credit cards, savings accounts, and more at NerdWallet.com. NerdWallet, the smartest decision for all your financial decisions. NerdWallet, Compare Inc., NMLS, 1617539. NerdWallet is not an investment advisor nor an investment broker. Information is for educational purposes only.
The 2022 football season is almost here. Woo! And you can be there to catch all the action live with Vivid Seats. Get out to the stadium and experience every touchdown, sideline grab, and game-winning drive. And with Vivid Seats rewards, you'll start earning free tickets from your very first purchase. Buy 10 tickets, get the 11th one free. That's like getting 10% back on every ticket, Daniel. From the box seats to the bleachers, Vivid Seats has you covered with tickets at great prices all season long. Just visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats, life happens live.
That was a good live read, Mike Clay.
Thanks, man.
That was
appreciate
good.
That. You know, it's not good. We didn't do our win total.
I was just going to say, yeah. we forgot to do the win total. In part, the win total is so low, I didn't notice it on the page.
Because it was such a small number.
Yeah.
You could barely see it.
6.5 wins right now for the Carolina Panthers. That's what Caesars has. I'm going to start with you, Liz. Are you taking the over or the under? 6.5 wins.
I'll take the over on that. I'll take the over. Ooh. I think you
made 7. All right.
Look, I like the quarterback upgrade, but I'm still not. I think the defense is a little overrated right now. They don't show well. My unit grade's not too pleased with them, so I'm going under. 5.8 wins. 5.8.
I'm going to take the under as well. It feels bad, but I'm going to do it. All right. Liz, let's talk about the Falcons. We get two quarterbacks here, Marcus Mariota and Desmond Ridder. You're not drafting Marcus Mariota this year in a 10-team, 12-team, 14-team single quarterback league, correct? What is two quarterback leagues? That's where you're drafting Marcus Mariota. Does that seem fair?
No, I don't even think I'm taking him in a super flex format. I think I'd rather have, frankly, Jared Goff over Marcus Mariota in a super flex format. Marcus Mariota hasn't logged double-digit efforts since 2018.
Wow.
That's how absent he has been from the starting position. I would rather, I mean, at the end of like really big super flexes, I'm taking Desmond Ridder, because I do think that Ridder will be one of those like super flex saviors down the stretch. But no, I'm not touching Mariota.
Do you think that Desmond Ridder gets starts this year?
Yes. Yeah. I think around mid season at the latest, I would say. And that's uncommon for third round picks. And by the way, I should point this out.
Uncommon in a positive way.
No.
Well,
I mean, for
way.
Him, it's not good for the Falcons, right? But look, day one, quarterbacks are who you want to draft and invest in, right? After that, it's a long shot for success. There's exceptions. There's Tom Brady and Dak Prescott and Kirk Cousins.
Russell Wilson and all the superstars.
Russell Wilson.
Yeah, sure. Like everyone that's top 10.
But that's it. How many more do you got?
Other than those guys. Like
Jalen Hurts, I guess. Add some value. That's about it, though. I mean, I've mentioned this before in the show, right? Go team by team and identify the franchise quarterback. So for Atlanta, it wouldn't be their starter. It'd be Ridder, right? For now. I mean, that obviously is going to change at some point. Unless he obviously breaks out, but go through and identify the franchise quarterback for every team. They're almost all first round picks.
Yeah.
Probably like 25 of them because that's who pans out. They're not going to hit on every first round pick, but usually the ones that do work out are first round picks. So a third round pick is a long shot. And again, look at the third round quarterbacks picked over the last decade or in league history. Not many of them pan out. So don't get too carried away. But to Liz's point, he is a great runner and that could be huge in fantasy in the second half in Superflex. Check this out. At Cincinnati, his career rushing line, 409 carries, 2,822 yards, and 28 touchdowns rushing. That is an unbelievable number. And I agree with Liz. Mariota has played one meaningful game over the past two seasons. He has been a backup for a reason. It's not a guy we expect to have a lot of fantasy success. He just run the ball a little bit, so maybe he's a streamer in deeper leagues once in a while. But not a guy I'm going out of my way to draft.
If I was Atlanta, I'd just play Desmond Ridder at running back because I don't currently love the guy that they have there. Liz, I want to talk to you about Cordarrelle Patterson. Just on that note, a guy that literally came out of nowhere. I mean, he came up, had spent 8 or 9 years in the league, and then out of nowhere busted out, finally had his first top 20 like finish after not finishing inside the top 30 ever until this point in his career. Do you think that there is more juice left in this Cordarrelle Patterson orange? And where is it that you would be drafting Cordarrelle Patterson this year?
Patterson is an interesting study this year, right? Because we loved it so much. I won a couple of leagues picking him up off of the waiver wire. I remember I did an episode with Austin last season, and he kind of casually mentioned that one of his position coaches with the Chargers had worked with Patterson in Minnesota and called him the anaconda because he is a silent squeezer. Which is just a, like a nice fun fact.
We gotta keep that.
The silent squeezer.
Sassy, like sneaky squeeze. So it's also just as a side note, particularly personally painful to see the Bears try to use him at running back, just the season before, and that be a complete abject disaster. And then, you know, seeing Atlanta of all offenses, unlock him. Regardless, I have him just outside of my top 30. I think he is going to remain the team's RB1, but I, you know, with hopefully the next step that Kyle Pitts takes and the addition of Drake London, like, I'm not sure he's going to have the Swiss Army knife utility that he did in 21 this coming season. Also, you know, they added Damian Williams, speaking of Chicago, who is, he's 30 years old. He comes from the Bears. And more interestingly, Tyler Algier, who's, you know, more of that power guy, that Mike Davis. I think what the team thought they were going to get from Mike Davis in terms of like an early down option is what Tyler Algier, I believe, is being brought to the backfield for. Also, just in terms of like numbers, I know we think about Cordarrelle Patterson in this running back role, but it was until, my gosh, I think week 7 that he officially took over for Mike Davis, the woefully inefficient Mike Davis. He averaged just 10 carries per game and 2.5 catches. That's under 13 touches from week 7 through 17 over 11 games. So, like, I'm not quite sure the volume is going to be there for him to do what he did last year, which is why I have him in that, like, okay, fine-ish flex position.
Okay. So, Mike, and looking at the screen here when I was watching the lower third while Liz was talking, and right now it looks like you and Field have Cordarrelle Patterson ranked ahead of current ESPN ADP. Our drafters, people drafting on the site, have Cordarrelle Patterson as running back 33. You have him as running back 31. But there is definitely trepidation around Cordarrelle Patterson heading into this year. To Liz's point, you know, do you have him as a low-end flex? Is he an RB3, an RB4? How do you even value Cordarrelle Patterson?
Yeah, so I'm at 31, so I think he is a flex option. I would say across the industry right now, an undervalued player for sure. He's a guy, if you're out there doing best balls right now or drafting, you're probably seeing him stick out on your board, right? The top of the queue kind of guy, right? I've noticed that a lot. I've drafted him a lot.
That one name that just stays at the top exactly. while everyone else
and
is drafting.
Exactly. And you're like, it's always boring players, right? Yep. It's never an exciting breakout player. It's always like a seasoned vet, right? That nobody wants. Like towards the top of the draft, you always see Fournette and Connor, right? It's like always the same guys. Patterson is, again, he's still going to play a big role in the passing game, right? I know he dropped off late last season, but he's still top six in targets, catches, and receiving yards among running backs, top 15 in scrimmage yards. And I think that they got to a point last year, to Liz's point, where they didn't have the running back help they needed, so they kind of increased his workload as a rusher, and it didn't really go well, right? He started to wear down a little bit, he missed a little time, and then they kind of scaled him back down the stretch. I think maybe now they have a good feel for how to use him, and as long as they keep him involved in the passing game, and he will still line up at receiver, more than most running backs, he's going to have PPR value, right? He is. He's just going to be a viable flex, maybe even flirts with RB2 value. So Patterson right now, I think, is a value pick. Not a guy you're going out of your way to get. Not a guy that's going to finish top 10 again, but a guy that could be startable.
I literally, Mike Clay, could not draft him less than I am right now.
Yeah?
I have zero faith. Cordero Patterson's upside to me. I'd rather take somebody else at that point where I feel like if I've got my running backs, I have somebody else that maybe could pop or do something, because for me, and as a fan, watching a 31-year-old running back who finally did it once for the first time and then expecting any kind of a repeat in what is a not great offense, I feel like I've got to be speaking on behalf of the fans. This is why he's going lower than where you guys have him ranked, because everything that I saw with the way he ended last year, his age and that offense, I don't have that same excitement. I'd rather go a different direction. So I've been passing on Cordero Patterson this year.
Yeah, I mean, you get it, right? Like Patterson, McKissick, Hines, like to some extent, they're just boring picks. But in PPR, those guys tend to have some value when guys start getting injured, right? And certainly during bye weeks. And Patterson, on top of that, gets more carries, right? If I'm projected at 134 carries, it's not something you generally see from a Hines or McKissick, right? Or a James White type. And he scored a lot of touchdowns last year. Might have been a little over his head, but he had enough work in that range that you feel like he can put some touchdowns on the board. So again, I just think he's a hair undervalued right now. He's fine for your bench, or if you waited at running back, even at your flex spot.
Yeah, if you're looking for a silent squeeze, Cordero Patterson is your guy.
Ah, I see what you did there.
All right, the rookie breakdown here is brought to you by Snickers. Avoid a rookie mistake and eat a Snickers. And draft Drake London while you're at it. Liz, talk to me why do you love Drake London this year? Because if you don't, I think we're going to have problems.
I think we might have problems.
Oh, no, I forgot you hate Drake London from the marathon. That's right.
I don't hate him. I'm just not as high on him. He's my wide receiver 40. I know that that is lower than the ESPN consensus. I understand the talent, right? Like, I live in Los Angeles. I've been to USC games. He is incredible. The contested catchability is undeniable. But you guys, maybe I'm spoiling it a little here. Vegas has this team projected, the Atlanta Falcons projected, for 4.5 wins. That's the lowest in the league. Where are all of these touchdowns going to come from? This is going to be an absolute disaster. Also, I don't like the ankle injury. I don't like that it prevented him from running in the combine. I don't like that it also delayed his pro day. I don't like that he's already tweaked up. There is nothing about this offense that makes me excited to invest outside of maybe Kyle Pitts. But again, I'm never going to be as high on him as everybody else is in my league. So I just would prefer to have a player that I know will be more consistent on a week-to-week basis. We'll talk about him in a minute. It's probably not a surprise. Then Drake London, who I think is just being, because of his talent and because of, you know, the draft process through which he came into the league, being overvalued.
I mean, I love talent. I love talent. I want talent.
I love talent too, when it can be properly unlocked to my benefit. Like I drafted Nick Chubb in our marathon, right? I just feel like I am not, I don't want to be a Debbie Downer. It stinks to be in this position because I'm as excited about his talent, but I also don't want to be frustrated all season when Mariota, like when he's coming back for the ball because Mariota can't sail it far enough into the red area for him.
You know what? I love that stat line we just had on the visual. Do you see that? If you're watching, 88 catches, 1,084 yards, and 7 touchdowns last season in 8 games. He had that injury and missed a month in 8 games. That was unbelievable. He was so good. 8th overall pick, 6'4", great ball skills. We could play inside and out. They're going to manufacture touches for him. I think he's going to have a terrific season. Yes, they're not going to win many games. They might not score a ton, but they're going to be throwing the football a lot because they don't have a choice. They're going to be trailing in games, and he's going to be very busy. They just don't have many guys to get the ball to. In the passing game, it's going to be Kyle Pitts, and it's going to be Drake London. And again, I've used this stat a lot. So actually, you know what? We're going to talk about rookies here. I'll save it a little
save
bit.
Save it?
That's all foreshadowing. Let's just say this. Top 10 rookie wide receivers as rookies are very, very good in fantasy historically. So a little bit of a tease there. We'll get to that in a second.
All right. We mentioned Kyle Pitts as talking about Drake London. I mean, Kyle Pitts and Drake London are going to be the two just target monsters here in this offense. Liz, we had talked about Kyle Pitts during the marathon podcast, I believe, when I had said that right now, Kyle Pitts, if you're drafting him, you're probably going to have to get him. I think right now, current ADP is the fifth round. I don't think he's going to continue to last that long, especially after watching that long bomb last night. Mind you, it's just preseason, but it's always fun to watch people catch long passes, and Kyle Pitts is just going to continue to stretch the field.
I want to take him first overall.
Stop it.
I want to.
Stop it.
The guy is just so fun to watch. I want him on all my teams.
Liz, how do you feel about Kyle Pitts this year? Is he a guy that you're targeting, or do you think that value, or do you think the cost in order to acquire Kyle Pitts is going to be more than you want to spend?
That is it, Hundo P. If I can get him in the fifth or maybe the sixth, absolutely. But we're also talking about the fact that he's attached to, he's going down in terms of quality of quarterback. Like, no one is calling Matt Ryan dynamic by any means, but he at least was consistent. Mariota recorded a red zone completion percentage outside of the top 30 over his last 2 years in Tennessee. He stopped over in Vegas after that. Like, I love Pitts. I love the talent, obviously, all in on the unicorn branding, a hundo. Yes, great. Also, I'm just not going to reach for him in the third round. I don't know what Mike's projection is, but like, Mike, over under 5.5 touchdowns, over under 6.5 touchdowns here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm under.
It's hard for me, right? It's hard for me to imagine him scoring 7 touchdowns.
Right. I think it's possible, though, just because he is a unicorn, right? The guy can break the game. He's just that good. I mean, it's unbelievable what he did last year as a 20-year-old rookie last year.
Great offense again.
Yeah, it was a bad offense last year, even with Matt Ryan, but he was top 6 in routes, targets, fantasy points, yards per target. Number 1 in average at the target, 9.3. So he's used as a vertical player. You know he's going to be lining up a wide receiver. And again, can't stress this enough. We talk about this all the time. It takes years for some of the best tight ends in the NFL to develop, right? A lot of those guys don't do much as rookies, even if you look at your Kelsey and Graham and Gronk, right? It takes them a little while. I think Gronk scored a bunch of touchdowns, but didn't have much volume. Pitts kind of broke that model. He had an unbelievable first year, and I think they find a way to get him going the right direction. He did have terrible luck in the touchdown department. He didn't score a single touchdown in the United States of America last year.
That's true.
The only one was overseas, so I won him. Look, I have not been drafting him a ton because oftentimes I'm looking at like Mark Andrews at the 1-2 turn, or I'm waiting for Schultz Hockenson as value. So I get that,
yes.
But it's still just, I want him in dynasty. I want to get him on some exposure to him. He's just such a fun player. And I think we might next year at this time, we might be saying, all right, end of the first round, are you taking Kyle Pitts? Right. I just think he's that special of a talent that he could get there. He's just,
Kyle Pitts or Mark Andrews next year.
Right. He's my number one dynasty tight end, and I think most people would agree with that.
We're going to see more flashes, and I love that Arthur Smith, right, obviously comes from a tight ends coaching background in Atlanta. So we like that too. But here's the stat. Say what you will about Matt Ryan. Everybody rolled their eyes about Matt Ryan. Last year with Matt Ryan, Kyle Pitts enjoyed a top 4 target quality rating. Tell me he can do that with Mariota.
No.
He can't.
I cannot tell you that.
I can't tell you. You can see a 23 to 25% target share. And if he gets that, he'll be up there with Andrews and Kelsey.
20% target share, above 20% target share. No doubt about it. The efficiency is going to be a problem given where you have to draft him. I agree that I want him to break the game. I'd love to be wrong about this. In the meantime, me and Cole Kmet will just volume our way to some growth stat line.
That's fair.
He's trending up too, man. I think Fields looked at him every time.
Every single time.
I'd love to see that.
Mike, real quick question to close this out on Kyle Pitts. 14 red zone targets last year.
Mm-hmm.
Other tight ends with 14 plus red zone targets averaged 6.8 touchdowns. Mm-hmm. You said he had 1. So obviously incredibly unlucky. I'm curious from your projection standpoint. I'm just going to own it because I am curious. Where is it that you have him from a touchdown standpoint this year in your projections?
I believe he's at 5. I want to say it was on the screen before. 4 or 5 in that range touchdown. For sure. Get a little lucky, he'll be above that. A little unlucky, maybe slightly below. But I think he gets it done. I think he will make the plays this year and find the end zone more often. He's that kind of player.
All right. We're going to move on to wide receiver, rookie wide receiver ranks after this first. But first, a message from DraftKings and Geico. But first, before a message from DraftKings and Geico, over under on Falcons at 5 games.
Let's see here. 5 games. I am at 4.5. I'm going under.
Liz?
Under.
It's going to be a rough year.
I'm going to take the over.
What? What?
Why not?
Come on, man.
It's at 5. Oh, it's at 5 even. If it was at 4.5, I would take 5. 5 means I have to get to 6, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm going to take the under.
All right.
All right.
I'm going to take the under. Smart man. Rebuild year.
All right. Football fans, join the next generation of fantasy football with Rainmakers Football, their first ever NFT fantasy game from DraftKings. It's the only NFT fantasy game licensed by the NFLPA, and now you can play all season long for millions in prizes by building the ultimate NFT franchise. Right now, everyone can get their first full roster starter pack for free. Playing Rainmakers is simple. You buy, sell, and bid, and win player card NFTs on the biggest names in the game through regular drops and auctions on the DraftKings Marketplace. I actually just sold a core Patrick Mahomes on the DraftKings Marketplace that I got last year. Superstar. Cool. Craft your lineups of athletes from your NFT collection and earn points for touchdowns, receptions, and more, just like daily fantasy football. Build your NFT franchise and enter free Rainmakers football contests all season long to compete for millions in prizes. The next generation of fantasy sports is here, so download the DraftKings daily fantasy app now, sign up with the promo code FFF, and click the Rainmakers tile. That'll get you to opt in to your first card for free. Plus, play for millions in prizes all football season while building the ultimate NFT fantasy franchise with Rainmakers Football. That's promo code FFF. Build, play, win. Only at DraftKings. Contest entries depend upon type and number of NFTs held. Eligibility restrictions apply. Void where prohibited. See DraftKings.com for details.
Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save money on insurance?
I'd love it.
Of course you would. After all, who doesn't love a great deal, right? And when it comes to great rates on insurance for all the things in your life, Geico can help, like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners, condo, or renters coverage. You could save even more with a special discount when you bundle your coverages. Plus, add the easy-to-use Geico mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more. And choosing to switch to Geico becomes an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save with great rates and discounts. It's easy. Simply go to Geico.com to get a rate quote or contact your local agent and get started seeing how much you could save.
That was another great, like, you crushed both live reads today.
Almost. I had an A+ going there. Had one little slip up. Hey. So I'm hard on myself. I have to go watch some tape after this.
A 96 is
still training camp.
It is.
It's still training camp. I'm still working it out. You know, where I'm going to go back. We're going to watch tape. We're going to talk about this with the coaches. Maybe stay out late after practice, after the pod here, and do a few reps,
a few more reps.
Yeah. So reps. I'll be better tomorrow. Okay. I just want to make this 53 and, or make the four, the make four. The top, make the four. I want to make the 4-man roster this season.
Liz, speaking of this, Liz, you get to watch Hard Knocks tonight and you don't have to watch it at 10 PM. Like all of us here on the East Coast. What? You don't? Is that a
no? I don't. I watch it at 7.
Okay. So I'm so bummed. I really wish that I could be out there so I don't have to stay up until 10 a.m.
But Liz, you're a parent. Are you going to make, you're up early to do this show. Are you going to make it that long?
That's right. So I was like, yes. When I watch all 3 of the Hard Knocks that are still saved in my DVR. Oh,
that's so good. That's it. I love it. All right. Let's talk about rookie wide receiver rankings. We already talked about the wide receiver one as far as rookies in Mike's mind this year, and that's Drake London.
Yeah.
Currently, wide receiver 15 from a dynasty perspective, Mike. I want to talk about both of these, you know, a little bit of both dynasty and redraft for these rookies because they fit in both games, right? Mm-hmm. I want to just go through the first round because you've made it clear. First round rookie wide receivers have something that they can potentially do that a lot of times second, third, and fourth rounders don't have. So let's talk about Garrett Wilson. Where do you have him ranked this year for redraft, and what is it that you like about him in dynasty going forward?
Yeah, so first of all, here's the stat. Okay, and this one applies to Drake London and Garrett Wilson. They were both top 10 picks in the draft, and to some extent, you can almost apply it to some of these other guys. You know, Chris Olave was 11th, and Jameson Williams was 12th. Like, these guys were all very close to the top 10. So check this out. 13 receivers picked in the top 10 since 2011 and played as a rookie. 9 of the 13 were top 30 scorers at wide receiver. We're not drafting any of these guys top 30 right now. 9 of the 13 were top 30. The only exceptions, missed 3-plus games. All four of the exceptions missed a significant action, and that's partially why they didn't crack the top 30. So there's a reason guys get drafted this early, to play football and a lot and get the ball in their hands, and I expect that to be the case for Drake London. And you brought up Garrett Wilson, who, look, I have him 43rd, all right? It's not super high, but it is ahead of the consensus, and I believe I'm highest at ESPN. I like him a lot. I don't think it's a sure thing that Elijah Moore will be their number one the entire season. There's a lot of hype with him right now. He's a good football player, was a second round pick last year and played pretty well, right? So maybe out of the gate, more leads and targets, but that could change, right? Because Garrett Wilson is a special talent. I think he's a bit of a forgotten man right now. And look, the dude had 6 drops his whole career at Ohio State. He's great hands, good perimeter receiver, and he's cheap right now. You can get him in the 12th round. I mean, he's just super undervalued. I think that's the kind of guy you want on your bench, is that high end pedigree and talent. I have a lot of Garrett Wilson in redraft this year. I'll keep him on my bench for a while, and then hopefully in that starting lineup.
The Jets have really invested in that offense. They're really hoping Zach Wilson takes the next step. Their offensive line, they are hoping, gets better, and in part with all this, and Garrett Wilson would definitely be a part of that.
Yeah, keep in mind, they were trying to trade for Tyreek Hill. That didn't work out. Yeah. They're like, you know what? We'll
draft a
10th overall pick on Garrett Wilson.
All right, Liz, let's talk about Chris Olave here. Right now, current ADP is wide receiver 46. ESPN consensus is wide receiver 47. With Jameis Williams under center here in the Saints offense, what do you like about Chris Olave this year?
I love his situation. Well, as a player, first of all, I guess I should say I have him wide receiver 38. So I am like 10 spots higher on him than Mike is. We talk about talent. I think Olave's talent goes overlooked because he was such a technician at Ohio State, and he made things look easy. Like Garrett Wilson, who we just talked about, had these incredible acrobatic highlight reel catches. Olave is all concentration, all polish, all technique. And I think when you have a player that pro ready, in fact, I'd say he was the most pro ready prospect of this year's wide receiver class, come into a situation where we have a ton of question marks surrounding Michael Thomas. Even new ones you guys discussed on yesterday's pod regarding his latest injury. We have Jarvis Landry, who's like 30-ish, right? We know what he can do. I think Chris Olave, though, you can put at all levels of the field. He can produce at all levels of the field. And you have Jameis Winston, who will push his pass catchers into production. There is an opportunity for Olave to really, whether he's ready for it or not, I think he's probably ready for it, though, to own the alpha spot in this offense. And I love that.
One of the things I do like is the fact that while I am assuming Jameis Winston is going to be the guy and be okay, the fact that he does have a, because we haven't seen Jameis, right? Yeah, it's been a minute.
Yeah, fair, like, that's fair.
Andy Dalton is still there. And if Andy Dalton ends up becoming the quarterback of this team, that's not going to downgrade those pass catchers a whole lot for me.
No, I don't think so. Although Jameis Winston was top 5 in QBR last year when he played, he was pretty effective.
Fingers crossed.
First of all, I feel put in my place because I love Olave. I've drafted him a top, and I drafted him a ton in like industry drafts, like best balls and stuff like that. But Liz is like, oh, I'm 10 spots higher than Mike. Just put in my place immediately. Like, yes, you are highest. I'll give you that honor for sure. I thought I was high. You are way higher on Olave, but I love it. I love it. Look, my concern right now is the math. I remember tweeting about this when they signed Jarvis Landry, right? And this is something I like about doing projections. You start doing the math, right? With Alvin Kamara's, 20% target share, and Michael Thomas, assuming he plays, if he's on the field, he's going to demand 20 to 25% of the targets, probably closer to 25. Jarvis Landry is always around 25%. You knock him down, maybe, 18 to 20%. There's going to be some that go to Taysom Hill in the tight ends, whether you like it or not. It's not going to be 0%, probably 15% are going to the tight ends. And you're like, you know what? This doesn't add up. We don't have 130% of the targets to give out, right? We have 100%. So I am worried when all are healthy out of the gate, it might be a little slow start. But again, to Liz's point, Michael Thomas, Jarvis Landry, both 29 years old. Jameis Winston has never finished a season lower than 6th in average depth of throw. And guess what Olave is? A speedy vertical perimeter receiver, right? So it is a good fit. And if Thomas does miss time, look out. I mean, he really should be a weekly starter in fantasy, Olave. So I like him a lot. I'm with Liz there. I'm a little conservative in the projection and the ranking, but I have drafted him a lot, and you can get him in the double-digit round, so love him.
Scott Brown from our YouTube chat just sent us a message saying he's going to draft Chris Olave and name his team Olave Garden.
Okay. All right.
Are you good with that?
Good breadsticks and fantasy championships.
Hopefully it's unlimited points, receptions, and touchdowns.
rather than soup salad and breadsticks.
Okay, I get it.
I stumbled.
I'm going to Olive Garden after this now. Thank you.
You want to go? Yeah, sounds good.
Let's go.
I'm going to quickly talk about Jameson Williams. Jameson Williams, I don't think, is going to have anything really to do in redraft this year. He's a guy that I love in Dynasty, someone that I think the Lions, there was a reason why they took him where they took him, in spite of the fact that they have DeAndre Swift, Amon Ross St. Brown, TJ Hockenson. The guy is lights out, but not someone for redraft, but in Dynasty, Mike. At least for me. Do you feel differently in redraft this year?
No, I agree. I think in 12-team leagues, borderline roster or draftable, I think that the opportunity to take him would be if, like you say, you're drafting at ESPN and you have an IR slot, you could pick him up late
Hopefully
in your draft.
More than one, because I would not love to have a rookie wide receiver sitting in my IR spot for the entire season.
But how long do we think? Maybe a month or so, conservatively. It might be a little longer than that. He'll be out, but he's a potential league winner. You know, he's one of those guys you want on your bench or in your IR slot. And the reason is, think about someone like Odell Beckham, right? Clearly a special talent right out of the gate. He didn't play in the preseason. He was injured. He missed the first couple weeks of his career. We all looked at the Giants that year and said, too many receivers, right? It's just crowded, right? I think it was like Steve Smith and Hakeem Nicks and
still feel that way.
Mario Manningham. It was like guys like that. Reuben Randall, maybe. Like it was three of those guys were ahead of him. You're like, there's no path there, right? It's going to take a while. So people drafted him and dropped him, right? He fell in dynasty drafts, but he was a special talent. And as soon as he stepped on the field, he was a difference maker in fantasy and was a top five scoring wide receiver. I'm not saying Jameson Williams will be that good, but if he's a special talent, he's going to be fantasy relevant very quickly. And that's the kind of guy you want on your bench, a league winner who's basically free in drafts, right? So if you want to take him with one of your final picks, I'm fine with that.
What about in dynasty?
Love him. 21st on my board, right? 21st. Once he's healthy, we expect him to be a potential superstar in the NFL. So again, great guy to draft in the middle of the first round of your rookie draft.
All right. Liz, another rookie wide receiver that we have. Treylon Burks took over for A.J. Brown from this standpoint. But there's been some struggles, it seems like, some camp reports that we're not really sure of everything. But he's got a role. Robert Woods is not fully healthy yet. And like we said, A.J. Brown vacated a lot of targets in that offense. Where are you at on Treylon Burks heading into the season?
I mean, it should not be a surprise, given his role in college, that he's not ready for the NFL. And he was one of the least pristine, shall we say, route runners because he was, and I think that this is like a lazy comp, but it was the one most frequently used, probably for communication issues. A Deebo Samuel-esque in college. Not that he is a player like Deebo, I don't think, but in terms of like his usage, right? When you would think a player used in so many different ways in college would have like a really high football IQ and some of that would be transferable at the next level. We're not seeing that from Burks. And again, I think it's because his route tree is particularly limited. There is a volume option here, but I still think that, you know, I sat down with Robert Woods and chatted with him over media week at the Super Bowl. And he was working on his ACL recovery so that he could run out onto the field with the rest of his teammates. I think he's going to be ready sooner than we think. I know we're hearing reports. I think he's actually going to be out there sooner than maybe he should be. And actually, the A.J. Brown replacement will end up being Robert Woods. And Treylon Burks will kind of be brought along more comfortably because he's just not ready from like a pro level, what is expected in terms of route tree to produce on a week-to-week basis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Mike, you don't even have him ranked right now.
Yeah, 54th, right? So he's just outside my top 50, trending down, obviously. Look, all of these guys picked in the first round aren't going to work out, right? They're not all, it's not like all six of them are going to be top 30, top 40 fantasy receivers, right? Right now, it looks like Burks may not be one of them that works out. But if his ADP keeps falling, that's who you want on your bench. That's what I'm trying to say, right? We want pedigree guys on our bench. So if he keeps falling and becomes a value, that's fine. But for most of the offseason, he's been the second guy off the board, right? A lot of people take London first, and then it was Burks. There's a lot of hype there because of the situation. But remember, it is a low-volume offense. It did limit the upside of A.J. Brown. You know, Woods is coming along pretty well. They're talking up Kyle Phillips. Nick Westbrook's going to have a role. Austin Hooper's going to have a role. So he might be a slow start here. But again, if he starts getting dropped in your leagues, That's what the bench is for.
That's right.
That's what the bench is for. If he comes along and has a breakthrough, he could be a league winner. Again, yep. That's who you want on your bench.
Absolutely. All right, another wide receiver that we have, the last first-round wide receiver that we have, Jahan Dotson going to the Commanders.
Let's go.
Not currently ranked for this year, I don't think. Mike Clay, do you have any feelings on Jahan Dotson?
Yeah, it's funny. I was just saying like Burks is probably a little overhyped throughout the offseason. Dotson's the one everyone's forgotten about, right? He's the
super underhyped.
He was what, the 16th pick in the draft, right? So again, he was right there. He was a couple spots behind. He was picked before Burks in the draft, right? Super productive at Penn State. last year. I know Kyle loves to hear that for sure. A little undersized, but 4.43 wheels, massive target shares over the last couple of years, 30% and 31%. They loved using him at Penn State. And check this out. Last year, he caught 91% of his catchable targets at only two drops. Super reliable player. And the question is going to be, is there room for him with Terry McLaurin there? I think the answer is yes, for him to be a guy that's, I would say, a bye week fill-in. And if he's proves the real deal, maybe is a flex option in 12-team leagues. I think he could get there. A bit of a cap ceiling for sure with McLaurin there. But can he be a fantasy starter? Maybe. And again, he's cheap. You get him late in your draft.
Question for you. That stat you just read from college, what was it? 90, caught 91% of his?
Catchable targets, yeah.
Catchable targets. I'm putting you on the spot here. And we didn't plan for this.
I don't know.
Carson Wentz and catchable targets. Like how accurate from an...
I don't know that answer, but I will say this. Carson Wentz, in terms of fueling the success of his receivers, I think is fine. I mean, Michael Pittman...
He did okay last year.
Pretty good. Pretty good last year from a fantasy perspective. Maybe lacked some work near the end zone, which was a little disappointing. But keep in mind, they had the number one scoring fantasy running back, the highest volume scoring fantasy running back in Jonathan Taylor. It was a run-heavy offense, right? So that, of course, is what's going to limit a passing game. The Colts last season, for about a month and a half, were the best offense in the NFL. They were scoring four, five, six touchdowns a game. And then it kind of fell apart at the end, and everything fell through with that whole situation. But... they were scoring points, and it was, Wentz was part of it.
All right, Liz, a couple more wide receiver, but not first-round wide receivers, guys that fell a little bit later on in the draft that maybe you're taking a shot on. How do you feel about Sky Moore with Tyreek Hill's targets being left open there in KC?
I think there's a natural amount of helium attached to him because of the offense that he's entering. Again, speedster, I do think, based on the preseason reports, that probably MBS is going to have a larger role than Moore in Dynasty. I love Moore, but he's not somebody... Hold on. If Mike is talking about like bench spotting a guy, sure, you have the room on your bench. Like, this is the problem. There's so many good talents. We're sitting here talking about all of them. If you decide that you want to take a bench flyer and Sky Moore is the one you're most passionate about because of the offense he's attached to, I'm fine with it. But I don't have him ranked, or I have him ranked outside of my top 50. So therefore, he is not ranked on the ESPN platform. I don't mind him as a bench flyer. I don't think he's going to see the time at the top of the season that people are anticipating. I think that disappointingly, that's going to be MVS. Do I think MVS could lose that job? Sure. I'm an NFC North fan. I've seen plenty of MVS. But again, he's not somebody that I'm proactively drafting in my regular non-dynasty redraft league.
This is a hard part, and I know we're running short on time, but Liz, I'm totally with you. MVS is like, there is this excitement around what he potentially could be, but there is this feeling that I'd almost rather have Sky Moore because I sort of know the devil in the details with MVS, right? And with Sky Moore, it's so open. There's this opportunity where maybe he is going to be, twice the player that MVS can be in this offense, and maybe he's not. But I haven't seen it. I think there's this fear with MVS for me because I've not watched him be very good with Aaron Rodgers under center. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think MVS will be boom bust. Sky Moore could develop into their number one receiver at some point this season if he's up to the challenge. The NFL has been terrific at identifying talents in the second round at wide receiver in recent years. Maybe Sky Moore is next on the list. So again, these are all, and again, it seems we do this a lot, right? Bench flyer, right? We say it for how many players, but I'm saying these guys are all guys I'm drafting in that area, right? You look at my 192. Every single one of these guys is in that vicinity of who you're drafting for your bench. You want high pedigree, high upside guys, in this case, unproven guys, but they have high ceilings. They are guys, you're not risking a lot. They're late round picks and they could be league winners. So Moore is on that list. And I think you could apply that to some of these other guys.
Totally.
Other like a George Pickens.
I was just going to say George Pickens is another guy that you're basically getting for free. And there is a ton of potential upside there with George Pickens, Mike.
Yeah, no doubt about it. It looks like he's already pushing Chase Claypool. This is a guy that, if not for the injury that cost him most of the last season and some, we'll say, off the field concerns there. Maybe he goes in the first round, right? So super talented. You worry about the offense there for sure, an opportunity. But if he passes Claypool, he's going to be at least on the flex radar.
All right, Liz, what about either the Packers rookie wide receivers? Because we all thought Christian Watson was going to be the guy when we saw him finally get drafted in the second round. No.
We didn't all think that.
Oh, okay.
No.
Liz didn't
when
think that.
When I looked at Christian Watson's 12.7% drop rate in college and looked at the quarterback that he was attached to, that was immediate pass for me. very like on brand for the Packers. Oh, you want to go give Aaron Rodgers a pass catcher or receiver and you give him this guy? Because we all know that he's super patient with developing young receivers who have a case of the drops and have frying pan hands at times. Nah, I'm out on Christian Watson. Romeo Dubs is exciting. I think, again, maybe this is too on-the-couch psychology for some people, but we know that Aaron Rodgers is a circle of trust guy. That's why Randall Cobb still has a job and moved back from Houston. So I think that of the Packers receivers, Alan Lazard is the one that I would most actively target. I think you're on the same page there, Daniel.
Yep.
And again, there are a ton of these bench flyers. Fine, you want to go take a flyer on Romeo Dubs? Fine. I think that Sky Moore... I'm more interested in. I think that Jahan Dotson and his hands is probably going to catch 50 balls this week. Like, these are just, and there's two of them. So this is not an equation that I feel like dabbling in. But again, if you're passionate, have at it. One of them is going to do something. It's a matter of when and how much.
I understand you might not feel like dabbling in it, but do you feel like dabbling in it?
I'm doing a little dobbling. And yeah, maybe in 14 teamers, I'll go dobbling.
Maybe in a 14 team league. All right, Hot Ticket is brought to you by Vivid Seats, where you earn your rewards with every purchase. Vivid Seats is your ticket to more tickets. Vivid Seats, life happens live. Mike, I'm going to ask you first, who is your rookie wide receiver hot ticket to fantasy success this year?
Oh, you know who it is. It's the guy I picked 8th overall. Drake London was my number one receiver going into the draft and my number one receiver coming out of the draft. Arguably the best player in Dynasty from this class. Yes, including Breece Hall. I certainly think you can make that case. Super young, going to have a huge role in Atlanta. Maybe a little slow start because of the offense. Maybe doesn't hit his ceiling right away. But in time, I think this guy will be a Mike Evans-like superstar in the NFL. It's Drake London.
All right. Liz, what about you? Who's your hot ticket wide receiver?
It's Chris Olave. I think I stumped hard enough for him. I think he will end up the alpha on the Saints offense because I do not have faith in Michael Thomas's totally normal ankle injury that seems to be not at all totally normal and affecting him for 2 years.
Wow. All right. That's fair. I'm going to take George Pickens. I'm going to take a guy that's going super late. If I think there's a flyer at the end that is in an offense that could potentially use him. I love George Pickens. So I'm there for that.
Kenny Pickett's looking all right so far, right?
Not
they
too
get
bad.
Him under center, maybe sooner than when we thought initially and get that ball to Pickens.
Speaking of the Steelers, did you see Najee Harris's price for week one in DFS? Holy cow. It is so
cheap. Very
cheap. So cheap. You've got to play Najee.
He will be in my lineup.
Also, Romeo Dubs, only 3K. Yep. We got some DFS. CSS DFS is going to be coming back this year. Mm-hmm. Me, Mike, Al Zeidenfeld, as we get closer to week one, we're definitely going to have some DFS stuff. Liz, we're going to have you on to be able to talk about it. Sounds like you Dobzel in the DFS as well.
Oh, I love to doppel in the DFS.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Love that.
Big week one.
All right. That's going to do it for us today. We have more tomorrow. Tomorrow's going to be me, Mike, and Field. It's going to be a good show.
Who's Field? I've never
heard of that guy.
I don't know.
Field. Liz, thank you so much for joining us. The show is always made better when you're here. Please make sure you go follow at LizLoza_FF for all of the amazing things. Liz, so good to see you today.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye, Liz.
Bye, Liz. For Mike and Daniel and Liz, we're out. See ya. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Seriously, though, why did you dress up? It sort of threw my thing off.
All right. Well, I mean, if people are listening live, now they can go watch SportsCenter.
It's no secret, not a mystery. The one that we depend on for all our podcast needs. Graduate Full Sail U. Alliance fan through and through, with the hippest beard, I'm telling you, he's Daniel Dopp.
Who's that? Who's that squirrel? Who's that squirrel?
He's Daniel Dopp.
Who's that? Who's that squirrel? He's Daniel Dopp.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart?
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes!
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.